This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf, coming in from Camp Good Dog, as y'all know, where there's many, many dogs visiting for the holidays and the summer, but also some dogs here because of fires. There's a lot going on in the world right now, and I'm going to talk about some of the things you need to know as a pet owner today. Some of the fire stuff and heat stuff, but also some weird things. Like, would you choose to get tarot card readings for your pets? Would you? Do you think that they would be accurate? I saw a book years ago, two books, one for cats and one for dogs, about the astrological sign, the zodiac sign of your dog or cat. Is your dog a Scorpio? Is he a Gemini? Are all cats Gemini? Perhaps. Okay, if you're a cat person, you understood that one, that joke. All right, so would you get a tarot reading? Would you go and, you know, the kind of stereotypical woman with the earring and the scarf over her head, and you walk through a jingly curtain, and she says, well, she fakes, you know, puts on a fake accent and says, ah, you will have many children, you know. And are you going to do that for your dog or your cat? Well, they're doing it in Japan. It's super popular. It only costs $20. So, I mean, maybe it's fun to do just for the fun of it. I don't know. That's kind of an interesting new little business. I wonder if I could get into that. That's fun, actually. But no, that's not my business. My business is reading animals from their body language and their communication and knowing what they want and need at any moment and knowing how to work with them, knowing what will motivate them. And it's pretty fast. I can train a dog in seconds or minutes. A stubborn dog that other people have had a lot of problems with. The hard part is training that same dog to work the same way for the owner who's got all these bad habits entrenched, you know, like praising the dog when it's rude and correcting the dog when it doesn't need correction. And so much of it is timing, actually. And with cats, too. When a cat bites you because you're petting it and you can't figure out why because you think you're being nice to it, oh, that's timing. Yeah, time's up. Okay, well, we'll talk about that later in the show if I remember to get back to it. So the riddle of the day. Okay, so I don't tend to eat this food. But right now, I gotta say, when I go on social media and I look, I am looking a lot at Canadian bacon. Now that's a riddle because I'm actually not looking at a cooking show. But I am looking at Canadian bacon, and Canadian bacon is adorable. And if you can guess what Canadian bacon is by the end of the show, good for you. Otherwise, I will tell you what Canadian bacon is. What Canadian bacon am I so fascinated with watching on the internet? Oh, I'll tell you later. All right, everybody, we're going to go to a break and come back, and I'm going to give you some summer updates for pet safety and interesting facts. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I know you all know dogs need shade and water at the beach. And I know you know cats need a place to escape the heat, even though they love the heat and they're desert animals. They can't be out 24/7, and they need access to good water. Not icky water, not dirty water, not water in a bowl that they turned over or that evaporated, but actual water that's always guaranteed to be there. And something you may not know, though, is sunburn. It's kind of a strange thing to think of. We look at our dogs and our cats, and they look really furry. It's not the first thing that comes to mind. But sometimes people will shave a dog too close. Maybe it's had surgery and it's got bald patches. You need to put sunscreen on those patches. It's also something that light-skinned breeds and short-haired breeds suffer more from than the big fur balls. So you have to think about it. If you're letting them sunbathe, if you've got a dog who just loves to lie out in the sun, and I've got a couple of those, you have to think about their fur. And I would suggest, I mean, I'm reading something from the American Veterinary Medical Association, a news bulletin that went out about this, but they don't mention something that I think is really crucial here. Even if your dog is super furry or your cat, they may have spots on them devoid of fur. So what am I talking about? You can probably think of where it is. You probably kiss it because it's so soft. Their nose, the bridge of their nose is often freckled, pink, white, light colored, and often not very furry, not really protected at all from the sun. So you may have to find a sunscreen that is okay for pets and possibly okay for babies, possibly all natural, but something, and smear it on that nose so your dog doesn't get skin cancer or sunburn. Okay, so that's one thing you might not have expected me to say today. The water and the heat, yeah, that's so important. And if you're in a smoke region and there's fire all around, close the windows and doors, get the air filters going. Make sure your cat isn't left alone in a smoke-filled room like a hot box of smoke all day while you go to work. There were a few cats who died from that last summer. So we really got to watch it. They're so small, and small dogs too, that smoke exposure can really take a toll on them. So we want to make sure they've got clean air. And if you can't clean the air, then at least close the windows before you go. I also want to tell you about some changes at Costco. For all of you who shop at Costco for your pets, here it comes. Some of us were taking advantage. Yep. Some people were buying the dog beds and the equipment and even the food and returning it severely damaged years later sometimes, open bags, that kind of thing. And Costco usually has a really great return policy, but they've decided to crack down on that. So if you're one of these people that did that and you plan to do it again, you're thinking, oh, it's time to return the old Costco dog bed and buy another one. I don't mind that it's expensive because I'll just keep doing that forever, like a car lease. You can't do that anymore. They're going to figure it out. They're going to, well, first of all, if the product isn't fairly new, they're going to not give you return value or an exchange because your dog bed isn't supposed to last the life of the dog. And if they're going to look up your record, if you're one of these people who does this over and over, you're going to be busted. They're not going to do it anymore. So I just thought I'd let you know. Be careful if you've been using Costco like a leasing program. I think it's over. Yeah, you need a good reason for why you're returning your pet product. Okay, so in the wildfire areas, the Canadian Veterinary Medical Association is warning that they've treated hundreds of displaced or injured pets, livestock, and that it's really, really, really important you have ID and tags, ID tags, microchips, everybody always identifiable, and leashes on the dogs, and cats in carriers, and no exceptions. If your cat's coming out of the carrier for a cuddle because you're in some kind of safety area because you've been evacuated and you want to give your cat a cuddle, make sure it's leash, collared, harnessed, everything fits and has been tested before. Take no chances. There's a lot of animals escaping, and we surely don't want that. So there's been some news about separation anxiety. I want to talk to you later in the show, but I'm going to remind you, I'm watching Canadian Bacon. And I'm not a fan of cooking shows. I don't like to watch those shows. So why am I watching Canadian Bacon? Well, that's our riddle of the day. All right, I'll talk to you later. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Short.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Bourne.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back with Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And let's see, well, Brazil just made a ruling that I love. If you are convicted of harming an animal, you face 5 years. 5 years. Yes, it's not considered property, but a living sentient being. That's amazing. I'm so happy with that. I hope that spreads around the world. Okay, so our riddle of the day, why am I watching Canadian bacon? Why? Well, because Canadian bacon is the name of the cutest little harbor seal, a female pup that was rescued off Bowen Island, which is a place I was just at a couple of months ago on a boat. Beautiful place. Oh, it's so cool. It's this little island, a commuter's ferry boat away from North Vancouver, which is a suburb of the big city of Vancouver. So it can take you, if you're lucky and all the ferries are running and the traffic isn't bad, it can take you an hour to get to downtown Vancouver from Bowen Island. But you're on an island in the Pacific with the ocean all around you. You can see whales. You can drop a prawn trap and you can go fishing off a kayak or a canoe and you're isolated there. So you don't have to worry about stuff. Once you're there, you're there. And nobody can bug you. Now, that can be a problem because once you're there, you're there. You can't go back to the mainland until the next ferry. And if there's ferry issues or traffic issues, it can be a problem. But it's an amazing wild place for some people. And there's community there. There's a school there and cafes and stores. It's a very, very small community and quite a rugged, beautiful island. So they found this poor seal, female pup, and they called the conservation people and they rescued her. And her name is Canadian Bacon, and she's so gorgeous. So if you want to see the cutest Canadian bacon ever, Google that. You'll find her. All right. So dogs and cats know stuff that we didn't realize. So some of you probably know that your dog is aware of time in some way, right? They did these experiments in England when I was a kid, years and years ago. I remember reading about it, where people had reported they believed their dogs had a sense of time. They tested only those dogs. And then they tested them to see if indeed, did they recognize 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever it was that was the trigger. You know, 7 o'clock, daddy comes home, or 5 o'clock in the morning, mommy leaves, whatever it was that they thought the dog could recognize. They tested it scientifically. And sure enough, it was like 80 to 90% of these dogs were bang on for time. They recognized time. They knew time. Okay, so that was one thing. They knew how long their owner had been gone. They knew when to expect them back. But why? Like how? Were they aware of the sun in the sky? What if they couldn't see the sun? I mean, they ruled all this out with the science, right? They tried to figure out what exactly is triggering them. They couldn't figure it out. They knew, but they didn't know how they knew. Years ago, I had a dog absolutely go mental in my house when I was in a plane over the Vancouver airport, circling round and round and round. And the person watching my kennel in my house was just beside themselves with worry, wondering why this dog was going so bananas. And it's because somehow the dog knew I was back, but not back, and circling. It's crazy. That's an hour and a half drive, an hour and drive away, and in the air. And, you know, when the person asked me, hey, what happened at this time? I was like, oh, well, that's when we were circling over and over and over again for a half hour. And she said, well, that's what your dog did. Circled the backyard over and over and over again, running in the house, running outside. So they know things that we don't know. But one of the things they've just figured out with cats and dogs is that they can smell how long you've been away. Think about that one. Whoa, my brain is just exploding. Now I've got to go down a whole bunch of other avenues with animal research. But so that means, and it makes total sense to me, because they can smell a scent when a search dog is scenting and looking for prey or looking for a lost person or whatever. They can tell if it's an old scent or a new scent. How long, how old, how quick we have to run. Is the person near or far, right? They can do that. So why wouldn't they be able to do that in your house? They know you, and they know you fresh. Fresh is when you just leave in the morning. Okay, we've got a long time to wait. When they can hardly smell you anymore, oh, it's time for mommy to come home. That is just mind-blowing. And thank you, science, for letting us know that fact. I think that's amazing. I'm so happy with that. So separation anxiety is a problem I get asked about a lot, and it's very difficult. And I have sort of scoffed at some of the products that I've seen suggested for it. Shirts and other things that to me don't really address the issue of an animal who's afraid to be without its pack. An animal that hasn't been taught that it's okay and safe when it's alone in a certain place or many places. Or in its kennel, or hasn't had that, just like you create a bedtime routine for a kid. It hasn't had a way time routine when it's alone. And so these devices and tactics and tricks have long been purported to have anecdotal success, yet no scientific research that really backs it, the thunder shirts and such. So now they're finding that it really doesn't work. In fact, all this stuff, this instant stuff, put the shirt on the dog, walk away, he'll be fine, even though he has separation anxiety, it really doesn't work. And they've come back down to say that good old-fashioned training works, behavioral desensitization, which is what I've been doing all along. So when you get that dog or cat who's absolutely neurotic when left alone, and it's not usually cats, it's usually dogs. So when you get that dog that's like that, you start slow. You leave for a little while and come back. Go check the mail. Go sweep the front stoop. Go water the plants outside. It doesn't have to be big. Come back. Do it again. 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 Over the course of a week, start with a minute gone, then 2 minutes gone, then 5 minutes gone, then 10 minutes gone, then 20 minutes gone, over and over till you're gradually increasing it. Okay. Along with that, you can play the radio, put on a talk station. It's not fooling the dog. The dog knows you're not there. Even if it's your own recorded voice, the dog knows you're not there. But it's comforting and distracting. Makes him less aware of the silence. You can leave something that smells like you with the dog. So if the dog has a favorite blanket, well, you know, put it in where your shoes are for a while and then give it to the dog, or sleep with it one night before you give it to the dog. So it smells really good like you. Very comforting for the dog when you're gone. You can set up a kennel or a crate. If you've already crate trained your dog, that's amazing, because now you're way ahead of the game. If you trained your dog as a puppy to eat its meals in the crate and be in the crate when you weren't there, and you put all his favorite toys in there and occasionally a bone or a treat, and your dog just loves going in there, bingo, that's your space. But if you haven't done that, you might want to try it, even with no door on, even with the door open. Dogs like a den. They like a space they know that's theirs, that they can have. And it's not because he's naughty, and it's not because he's bad, and it's not only when, you know, there's something better to do. You do it all the time, little bits here and there. So he starts to like the crate. He starts to check it out. Oh, is there a treat in there for me today? Is my toy in there? Is someone going to cuddle me in there? Right? So you do that too. And then once you got all that happening, when you're saying hello and goodbye, you don't make a big fuss. I know. This is probably the hardest part of it. And it took me a long time to do this myself. I really want to come into the house and sink into the dog cuddle, right? I want to. I want to talk baby talk, and I want to be excited, and I want to drop my purse and my bags and my groceries, and I want to just fall into the dog cuddle. There's an old couch at the front of my house. It's not that old, but anyway, a couch, and it's covered with a big blanket, and there's usually three dogs on it, and there's an ottoman next to it, and there's usually a dog on that. And I want to come in and lie down on that couch and just be smothered in doodle poodle love. That's what I want. But I don't do that. I ignore them for a few minutes. I come in and I make a point of, whatever it is. I take my milk and I put it in the fridge, my butter and my yogurt. Okay. Then I put my groceries on the table. Then I probably go to the washroom, wash my hands, and then I pet them. Not when they bug me. Not because Peachy's jumping up on me because I recently taught her hug and she wants to show me her great trick. No, not because of that. Because I call them. I go over to wherever it is I want to pet them and I call them and I say, hi guys. And that's when I get my dog cuddle. It avoids the intense greeting focus. Mommy's leaving, mommy's coming, mommy's leaving, mommy's coming. Just by postponing it a few minutes, it avoids that. And when I leave, it's very brief. I usually tell them something like, I'll be gone a while, I'll see you later, be good. Or, I'm only going for a minute, I'll be back in a second. Or, Shayna's coming, that's my daughter. I'll be gone for a while, guys, Shayna's coming, watch the house. That's another way of telling them, watch out for Shayna. And that's it. No cuddles, no kisses, no pets when I leave. It's just a quick goodbye, be good. I don't want the focus all about that. So that's what you got to try to do if you want to get rid of your separation anxiety. And if you got more questions for me, deb@petliferadio.com. And you can send me a voice question, a clip. Just tell me who you are and what the problem is. Hopefully you'll tell me what your dog or your cat's age is, some of the history, so I know what's going on. And you can also send in a text or an email. We love to get your questions. Love it. So I guess that wraps the show for today on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Wondering if I should leave you with a few more of those safety tips. Let's see. I guess an important thing, if you are in the fire zone, and I know it seems trivial, and sometimes I roll my eyes when I hear someone say something like, well, you know, deep breathing is really helpful, and they're suggesting it for someone who's fighting cancer, right? Like, some of these things, yeah, it's helpful, but it ain't, yoga's not going to fix cancer. Okay. And I'm not saying that this suggestion will solve smoke poisoning. I'm not. But on the other hand, eating yams, raw or cooked, for humans and pets is a very good idea because it is cleansing and it is part of the foods, the superfoods we need to cleanse our body of toxins, especially smoke. So if you can add some yams to your diet and you're in an area with smoke, just do it. I mean, they're really easy. And you can microwave, you can roast, you can boil, you can bake, you can cook, you can shred, you can eat raw, dogs tend to really like yams because they're so sweet. And it's not really the kind of thing where you have to worry that you're feeding them too much. It's very healthy food for them. So go for it. Get yammy, everybody. All right. From Animal Party and me, Deb Wolf, and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.